Genesis chapter 23. As we look at this passage here, I want to begin with the words of the song, Does Jesus Care? We sang it earlier, a song by Frank Graff. And two of those verses in that song are very great verses. He says, Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mercy or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the ways grow weary and long. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. That is a great song. And the words of that are so helpful to us. Now, as we look at this passage here tonight, Genesis 23 is all about the death and burial of Sarah. And we find here in the first verse, it says, And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and she were the years of Sarah's life. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her, or weep for her. Now, as we look at this tonight, I want us to notice four helpful facts that we need to remember that will help us in times when we lose a loved one. And all of us are going to lose loved ones. That's all part of life. And four facts that will help us. The first fact is this. Death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. Physical death is unavoidable. You can't avoid that. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God warned Adam and Eve, or especially warned Adam, he said, if you eat of the forbidden fruit that I told you not to eat of, you will surely die. We know the story. Adam ate it, and he died. And we read over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. We're going to face death one day. That's part of being a human being. Death is separation of the soul and spirit from the body. The body will return to dust, but the soul and spirit will enter into eternity. And will spend eternity either in the presence of God or separated from God in hell. And that happens to every single human being. And that is part of us being on this planet. And God assures us that the moment we die, if we know Him as our Savior, the moment we die, we will be in the presence of the Lord. A good verse for you to memorize, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We need that verse. We need that verse as we face a sickness or a crisis in our own life, but we also need that when a loved one dies that knows the Lord as their Savior. Now, there's nothing very pleasant or cheerful or happy about an unsaved loved one going dying. That's not very happy. There's nothing to be happy about. But when a Christian loved one dies, we don't have to feel deeply bad about that, though we will grieve, and God knows that we will grieve. Except for Enoch and Elijah, as far as we know, every human who has ever lived has eventually died. And if Jesus does not come back before that time, we too will die. And the older we get, the more realistic that seems to get. You know, when I was 30, I didn't think too much about it. When I'm 63 now, I'm thinking a little bit more about that. It's getting more to that time. And with my parents in their mid-80s, it's, you know, that's a reality. I know that they're not going to live forever. One of these days, I'm going to get a phone call that mom and dad have passed away. And that's going to be a hard and a difficult time. But we know that's a reality. So the one thing that we know for sure is that physical death is unavoidable. Sarah here was 127 years old when she died, and we expect that out of old people. We think, well, you know, that's natural when they're old. But you know, every life is like a flower in God's garden. And sometimes God chooses to pick the most fragrant roses while they're still in the bud. And it's heart-wrenching when a child or a young person dies. Yet sometimes God makes that choice. And people say, why? And all we can say is, I don't know. But God makes no mistake. God knows what He's doing. In the midst of our heartaches, we must never forget what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. God is good. And though it may hurt deeply, deep down inside, God is good. And it doesn't matter whether that child was an infant, or whether it was died in the womb, or whether they're 10 years old, or 50 years old, or 80 years old. It always hurts to lose a loved one. Sometimes it can be very painful. And for you ladies that have gone through situations like that where you lose a babe, we've got two little grandchildren in heaven that we never saw this life. And sometimes that happens. And we look and think, I don't understand why, but God doesn't make mistakes. God is good. God is good. And you know, the better we know God in His character, the easier it will be to understand and to accept these things. We need to know that God is good. Because if you don't know for positive in your heart that God is good, there's going to be times when you say, God, it's not fair. It doesn't, I can't understand. Why would you do this? I've met people that are so bitter at God because God took their little one, or God took someone they dearly loved, and they don't understand. And it's because they don't really know God's character. And to realize that God always does what is best. God loves us. And God makes no mistakes. And that is so hard sometimes. But we've got to know God. And we've got to believe God. And so the first thing we see here, the first fact I want us to notice here, is that death is inevitable. Secondly, grieving is helpful. Grieving is helpful. God gave us our emotions, and Abraham mourned and wept over Sarah. We see in verse number 2, and Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. He wasn't weeping that she'll come back. He was just weeping. It was his wife. He had been with her for years, and she was gone now, and it was a grief to him. And that is normal. Grieving is a normal thing that needs to take place. Yet her parting was very difficult, and he missed her greatly. And God created our bodies with emotions, and He gave us the ability to weep. The very fact that this Hebrew word that is mentioned here for weeping is found over 100 times in the Old Testament is an indication to us that it is a normal thing for us to weep and cry. Many times men have the idea that we need to be tough and hard, and we shouldn't ever cry, especially not in public. We don't want to see us cry. We'd feel like a fool. But that's not wise. That's not good. God gave us that emotion. Now, I'm not saying we should always be crying and blubbering over every little thing, but if there's a reason to cry, we should let our crying out. Nothing wrong with that. You find throughout the scriptures, if you look at people who wept in the Bible, Abraham wept. We see that here. Jacob wept. And Joseph wept. And Ruth wept. And David wept. And Mary wept. And even Jesus Christ wept. Weeping is a normal thing. It's a normal emotion that God has given to us. And weeping helps to calm the burdened heart. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is good, and it is helpful for us to cry when there is a need to cry. It relieves some of the pent-up emotions and tensions that build up in our bodies. One medical report lists several benefits of crying, including crying helps to heal grief. Crying lessens pain by releasing endorphins that help to numb the pain and calm. Crying balances emotions. Crying will improve your mood by releasing stress hormones. Crying helps to soothe your parasympathetic nervous system. Crying helps to detox the body. See, God created the ability to cry for a purpose. It's good for us when there's a need, and we need not to be ashamed of that. I remember years ago when my grandfather on my father's side passed away, and I was in America at the time, and I was asked to speak not the whole sermon at the funeral, but to speak a little portion of the service. And I thought, oh, you know, I'll be tough. It's not that hard. I'll be tough. And I got up there and I started to talk, and I started crying like a baby. You know, it was my grandpa. He passed away. But, you know, that's normal. And God said there's nothing shameful about that. And as we weep, we need to turn to the Lord for comfort. We need to turn to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. He cares for you. He wants to take our burdens. We need to give it to Him. So we saw, first of all, that death is inevitable. Secondly, the grieving is helpful. Thirdly, I want us to notice that burial is temporal. Abraham looked beyond the grave when he buried Sarah. And much of this chapter 23, we're not going to read all of it, because a lot of this chapter is his negotiations with the children of Heth to try to get a cave at Machpelah where he could bury Sarah, and he bought it from them and paid the price, and he took her and buried her, and all the details are involved here, and it just gives a lot of information about that we're not going to dig into tonight. But the thing I want us to see is that Abraham looked beyond this, and we find specifically over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 13, where it's dealing with Abraham and Sarah, and it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Verse 16 of 11 says, "But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." Abraham was not, he was looking for a city of God, an eternal city. He was looking beyond this life. And even the very fact that Abraham chose to bury Sarah there in Canaan land and bought that field from the sons of Heth in Machpelah, and he buried Sarah there, that is an indication that Abraham had faith in God's promise. What had God promised him? God had promised him that your heirs will own this land. It'll be all theirs. And he only had one at this point, and that was Isaac. And he says, Isaac's family is going to inherit this. And there was no indication of that at that point. And yet Abraham believed God, and he buried her there. He could have said, you know, it's time for a long trek back up to Haran. We're going to bury Sarah back up with the rest of the family in Haran. Could have done that, but he didn't. He said, no, it's going to be here, because this is where God has promised. This is going to be our land one day. And he did that because he believed God. Now, it's important for us to always remember that death is temporary. Burial is temporary. God promises that he will resurrect our bodies one day. John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." He said, all that are in the grave. And he continues on the verse, talks about the saved and the lost. But he says, everybody's going to resurrect one day. Not just the Christians. Everybody will. The unbelievers will be raised to receive a body that will last forever, but in hell. But believers will have an immortal body that will live forever to be with the Lord. We also find that God promises Christians that he will raise them to life and give them immortal bodies. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53. Some wonderful verses. Where he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep." Talking about dying. "We should not all sleep, but we should be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And then he says, For this corruptible must put in incorruption, and this mortal must put in immortality. We're going to get a new body. This old body that's wearing out and falling apart, we're going to get a new body that will live forever with the Lord, immortal, to be able to be with Him. What a wonderful thing that'll be. And so, burial is not the end. That's only temporary. And if you know Christ as your Savior, and you say goodbye to a Christian loved one, that is not the end. That's only a temporary separation. You'll see them again. The day is coming that we'll be with them again. And I don't know about you, but Melody and I know several of our family members and friends that have gone to be with the Lord. One day we'll see them again. We'll be there with them. God will resurrect them. And it'll be fine. We'll be with them. This life is only temporary. And we need to remember that. Because it'll help us when we're facing these difficult times of saying goodbye to those we dearly love. The fourth fact I want us to remember is that trusting God is essential. We need to talk to ourselves about God's goodness. David did that. But you know, our grieving soul may be tempted to think negative or bitter thoughts. That is so common. You know, someone passes away, especially if it's a young person, especially if it's sudden. Just on Thursday, I got an email from our mission. And they said, we've got sad news. One of our fellow missionaries over in Ireland, that Melody and I have known for 35, 40 years, he and his wife were taking a little bit of a break and a holiday, and they went up to Northern Ireland just for a break. And while they were there, he dropped over dead with a heart attack. I don't know whether they were anticipating something. I don't know whether he was sick. As far as I know, he was in good health. I don't know. They had six children. They were all grown, and I think all of them live in America, I think. I'm not sure. But, you know, just suddenly, just like that, gone. And we never know. And you know, sometimes those sudden times like that are really difficult because we weren't at all prepared. You know, we're kind of expecting it when our elderly parents are getting aged and weary and wearing out, and we say, well, one of these days, you know, we need to be prepared because one of these days they're going to wear out and stop. And we're prepared for that, but when it's a young person or somebody that we're not expecting, that can be really shocking to our system. Very hard and difficult to take. But we need to trust God during those times. You know, there's a temptation to get negative and bitter thoughts. There's a temptation to ask unanswerable questions. Why would God do that? What did they ever do wrong? Why would this happen? And all those bitter type of questions. And people pour out their emotions during sorrow. I don't know how many funerals you've been to. One of the saddest ones, probably the saddest one I ever went to, was probably 20 years ago. It was here in person. It was unbeliever. And some of the children, just went hysterical. And I thought, how tragic. But they're all unbelievers. They don't know any better. They don't know any different. They have no hope. When you die, you're gone. As far as they're concerned, once you die, you're dead. And we'll never see him again. There's no hope. They've got no hope. They went hysterical and just, it was very uncontrollable at a time. But you know, as Christians, God says we don't have to do that. He says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says that we ought not to grieve as do the unbelievers. Because we have a hope. We're going to go to be with the Lord. And we're going to be resurrected again one day. And so we need to have trust in the Lord. Many times there's a temptation to blame God or to get angry with God. But instead, we need to do what David did in Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, verse 11, David's going over and he's talking about all the troubles he's having. And in verse 11, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. What was David doing? He was talking to himself. Instead of listening to himself, many times we listen to ourselves and we listen to ourselves and we're saying, oh, it's not fair. And we keep saying all these mean, negative, down, defeating type of thoughts that come into our minds, and we're thinking all those things. But we need to talk to ourselves in times like that, like David did, and says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Don't do that. Hope thou in God. Hope in God. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on God. And it's times like that that we need to meditate on God's promises. Over there in the book of Isaiah 26:3, that verse we're memorizing, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Focus on verses like that. And Isaiah also wrote in chapter 41, in verse 10, now I realize this verse is often misquoted because it is a verse that is a great promise, but it was actually promised to Israel. It wasn't promised to us, but the principle is still there. Isaiah 41:10, it says there, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now that is a wonderful promise. It was made to Israel, but the principle is there, and God is still the same God as it was to Israel, so I think we can claim that principle. God will help us. Over there in Romans, Paul wrote in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Focus on those kind of verses. Nothing can separate us from God's love, because God will always be with us. In heaven, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Gone. And then a verse that can be very helpful if we'll just grasp it and believe it is Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is that verse talking about? He said, don't be covetous, but be content with such things as you have. For I will never leave you nor forsake you. What was God saying? He was saying, all you need is God. If you've got God, you've got all that you need. If I've got God, I've got all that I need. He said, don't be covetous. Don't want something more. He said, be content with what you have. I will never, ever leave you. And we need to claim that and hold it and make it precious to us and understand it in its context. God will never leave us. We need to press on in God's strength. After a time of mourning, Abraham resumed normal life again. Took time, but he carried on. And with God's grace, we must do the same. Our hope must be in God. We must press on. It's easier to say than it is to do, I'm sure. But we must press on. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Paul speaking here. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Abased means to be put down. Abound means to have lots. Or abased could mean to just not have hardly anything. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that verse is often quoted out of context. But in the context, what was Paul saying? I can endure all things. It doesn't matter whether I have lots or whether I'm starving, whether I abound or whether I have need. I can endure all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that verse can hold us strong and help us in time of need when we feel like everything's caving in and my whole world is caved in and I've lost the dearest on earth to me. We've got to claim that verse. that I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we lose a loved one, we must remember the four facts that we found in this chapter. Number one, death is inevitable. Number two, grieving is helpful. Number three, burial is temporal. But number four, trusting God is essential. We've got to trust God. And folks, as I've been emphasizing for weeks now, we've got to know God. We've got to know God. And you know, the people that endure grief the easiest are those who know God the most intimately. Because they can turn to God and say, my God will supply. My God will meet my need. But the ones that fall apart the easiest are the ones that don't know much about God at all. We've got to know God. The better we know Him, the easier it'll be to accept it when He calls one of our dear loved ones home to be with Him. Let's get to know God.